voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor? Name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Always like that song. It's encouraging, isn't it? Little as much when God is in it. And I said to Eric, that's an appropriate song for tonight. Amen. And we've got so many people that have just been sick and battling different health issues, and even folks out of town and traveling. Good to see some of them back, and sure thankful for that. But just we're going to go through our prayer list tonight. We just have quite a few tonight, but I think it'd be worthy of us as a church family tonight to just take some time and pray for one another. Amen. Because we do have a God that hears and answers prayer. So let's pray tonight. And good to see the Shanes made it back. And so, Brother Dave Shane, would you pray for us tonight? Open us in a word. Yes. Amen. Won't you be seated tonight? And of course, May is winding down. We've had a great month, and sure thankful that we got to celebrate our church anniversary and our friend day and those kind of things. And of course, we're getting ready for June, and so June is always camp time. And so we've got our senior camp, which is, we'll actually leave a week from this coming Sunday. We'll be heading out Sunday afternoon, June the 5th, and be going down, and of course, pray for Brother J.D. Wido, who'll be preaching our senior camp. And so that's June the 6th through the 10th. Of course, we'll have our Sunday school promotion that Sunday as well, June the 5th. And then junior camp is June 27th through July 1st, and so looking forward to those two times, and always a blessing. But did just want to again remind you tonight that if you have any kids or you're planning on going to either senior camp or junior camp, we are going to have a camp meeting following this coming Sunday evening's service. It'll be over in Room 2, which is here in the inner foyer by the toddler nursery. And so again, just make sure that you're there for that meeting, and looking forward to a good time in the Lord. And then I believe following senior camp, that June the 12th, which is on a Sunday night, have our youth night like we always do. Always a blessing, isn't it? See those kids get up and to sing and to play musical instruments. We even got a couple of preachers, amen, and just a real blessing there. And so just looking forward to that, and always a great time in the Lord. But do be much in prayer for those things. All right, if you have your prayer list tonight, let's go ahead and get those out. We do have some things tonight. Did want to just mention and update. I've got writing all over my prayer list with stuff that's going on. And so I'm thankful that, on one hand, I'm thankful that there's some stuff going on, and that means people are getting into the doctor and things like that, but certainly some things to be in much in prayer for tonight. In the first column there under our health, as you go down, about a third of the way down is Miss Marie Christian. And so, sure thankful she got to see the eye specialist Tuesday, and come to find out that she did, what was bothering her eyes was that she had an infection in one of her eyes after the cataract surgery that she had. And so they've been treating that, they've been putting a membrane on that and giving her some eye drops and things. And so just pray for her. She's been getting that treatment, and it's been helping, and so thankful for that. As you move on down that first column there, Brother Chuck Bellis, that we have on our prayer list for his eyes, the eye treatment that he has, and of course today called me this morning, they were heading down, and so he was going and having his treatment done, and then they were also going to visit his mom, Miss Wanda Jackson, which if you look on the health list, is straight across there in the second column, and who's in the nursing home, and just pray for them. Was praying that they would have a really great visit with her. She had, of course, if you don't know, she had a stroke and has been battling, recovering from that. And so just continue to pray for her as she's there in the nursing home now. I believe she's 95 is her age, Miss Wanda Jackson. And so pray, just pray for her, and then also Brother Chuck and Miss Barb Bellis there. And then also right under Brother Bellis is Brother Bob Nugent, and got to talk with him this morning and pray for him. He had an appointment with an oncologist yesterday. They had a couple of other things that they had to do to his body regarding the treatment for his prostate cancer. And so that went all well, and so he's at home recovering from that. And then Lord willing, next week he's going to be starting radiation on his prostate, and so if you could just pray for that, pray that it would go smoothly and that it would have the effect on the prostate that it needs to have. Okay, in the second column, about a third of the way down, is Brother Owen Wood that we've been praying for. I got to talk with Brother Wood yesterday, and the wound that's on his foot is still open, and it's actually even gotten bigger, but the doctor did say that that was actually better, and he was like me, that doesn't make any sense. You want it to close, not open, but it did look better, and it was improving, and so he asked if we would specifically pray tomorrow. He has got to go in Thursday tomorrow. He's got to go in. It's an outpatient procedure, I believe, but they're going to go in and try to clean out one of the veins in his leg that goes to that foot, and hopefully that will help in the healing process. And if you know anything about that, Brother Wood's been really struggling with that, with blood flow to his legs. And so just pray for that and pray that it would have the effect that it needs as well. Also, Miss Ginger Sexton, continue to pray for her and her back and her shingles that she's been dealing with. And then down in the bottom there on the right-hand column, Miss Ashley McGee, she did have gallbladder surgery at the end of this past week. They took the gallbladder out. They also found some stones as well, and so they were able to get those out. And so she is recovering from all of that, and hopefully we'll be able to get to go home if she's not already home. All right, now here's the last thing that I have, all right, as far as updates. I have, I just wrote under prayer request, church sickness, and these are the names of the people that are sick, all right, and hopefully you're staying up with me on all this writing. So I'll just tell you, we got a lot, amen, and so we just, that just means we need to pray. Good to see Brother Gary Waters back there that was working the door, but Miss Angel Waters is at home and still very sick. And he did mention that she was basically in the worst of it now, and so pray for her. Also, Miss Beth Kirk and Kaylee and Colton Kirk are all at home sick, and I believe all of them have tested positive for COVID. I know that Colton did as well. And then, of course, Brother David and Miss Sherry Griffin got started feeling bad Sunday afternoon and got a text from Miss Sherry today that they are still sick, and then also got a text from Matt and Amy and Josh Whitney that all three of them are sick. And so some of this is COVID related, some of this is not COVID related, but either way, now COVID is just basically just like any other respiratory illness that goes around in our day and time. So I don't know why we're even taking tests anymore. We might as well, we just need antibiotics or whatever. And so and we're not going to stop, you know, church and all of that stuff, and so, you know, anyways, all we just need to pray for these families, amen. And so that's all that I have tonight. We just have quite a few folks that are sick and stuff like that. I said to Brother Tim Sunday, they're dropping like flies, And so let's hope no more flies drop, all right? So we can have house flies drop, just not our people, all right? So anyways, does anybody tonight have a prayer request or an update or somebody sick that we need to add on our prayer list? Amen, Missy Lane? Got a perforated bladder? They found it. Bless her heart. Oh my. Okay, what's her name? Julie? Okay, so that's Julie Ells, Ells, with a perforated bladder. Mercy. And they did find it. She's recovering from that. All right, so praise the Lord for that. And good to see Miss Marilyn Parker back there and recover from COVID too. So that's a blessing there. All right, anybody else tonight? Thought I saw Brother Steve Parker. Okay. All right, so let's pray for Miss Mary Parker as well. All right, Miss Sue. Is that Joe Tedesco? Yeah. Where did he come from? Oh, my soul. And he picked Ottawa of all places to stop, huh? Okay. All right. So, biking across. He's like Forrest Gump on a bike, huh? Amen. Biking. Sorry, I might be getting sick too. I don't know. So I don't. Biking across country. All right. So that's amen. So I'm glad he met. Amen. So he's about halfway. All right. All right, Brother Will. Yes. Okay. Do you have her first name? Kathy? Okay. All right, so let's get her on there. So he is on the first column there, about third from the bottom there, Charles Douglas, and dealing with cancer. Let's pray for his wife. And let's pray for both of them that they would know the Lord is their Savior. Amen. Because that'll fix a lot of things right there. That'll fix a lot of things in a marriage right there if both spouses get saved and well, that'll sure help. So let's pray for that. Brother Brandon? Okay. Amen. Amen. What's her first name, brother? Oh, that's right. Okay. Christiana. So that's Christiana Armitage. Okay. All right. So pray for Brother Brandon and his family. They need the Lord, don't they? And so pray for them. I pray for his mom and dad, often his dad, especially with the state trooper and stuff. So it's a real blessing. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or an update? Yes, ma'am. Okay, so that's Whitney. Okay, so let's add on there Whitney Wisdom with the ear infection. So, okay, let's go ahead and have our men come tonight. And if you have anybody to take off the prayer list, let me know, because we got to make room for all these people that need to get on it. Amen. And but I don't want to go to a smaller font. I'm already blind as it is. Amen. And so. And I don't want to have a booklet, a prayer list. I just want to have a prayer list, all right? So, but a lot of burdens and a lot of needs, amen? But sure thankful we serve a God that's faithful tonight. And so let's just take some time tonight. Let's pray for these things. I'm going to ask Brother Will Kennedy if you pray for us tonight and for these needs. Amen. Amen.
Recent prayer letter from Richard and Joyce Krotz, our missionaries to Papua New Guinea. He says, since our last letter, I was outside doing a maintenance project and found myself trying to prevent our dog from killing the neighbor's chicken, which somehow got in our yard. Rusty is a big and determined guard dog and does his job well. Our yard is terraced because we live on the side of a mountain. So, to keep things short, I fell on my back off one level down onto a concrete drain. And this certainly did not feel good. I lay there long enough to believe that perhaps I could get up. I did get up and determined that nothing was broken, but a day or two after, I could barely walk. I've had a sprain, a strain of my back and both wrists, and in a couple weeks, however, after that, I was back to normal and very thankful to God for sparing me from a worse injury. We were able to have an after-COVID modified version of our Easter youth camp. It was a very well-attended camp. The young people were eager to have camp again, and they were very attentive to the morning lessons, and several responded to the invitation. Plus, some attendees were saved after the camp. Our printer and photocopier was out of toner, and none was available in town, but I had saved some depleted cartridges from which we were able to eke out about 250 lesson books. We think that maybe it was kind of like the cruise of oil that did not fail. The following weekend, there was a killing in our town which triggered a retribution killing and much unrest. So the town, government offices, and market were mostly shut down for a week. We did not feel unsafe, but our efficiency in some areas was affected, and sadly, our classes at the public high school were canceled indefinitely. We do not know when they will resume their afternoon programs. Your prayers for this are appreciated. We've had an extended dry season, and everyone is pretty desperate for rain. We've been helping haul water to some and replumbing our little village house where one of our young preachers is living so that when the rains come, they will be prepared. Land ownership is a big issue in Papua New Guinea. We've enlisted everyone we can think of to help us get land in Rabaul for Simpson Harbor Baptist Church. We're trying one more avenue, and we continue to have hope, but we recognize that what we really need is the hand of God to move and do for us what seems incapable of accomplishing. So we ask you to join us in prayer for God's will, his provision, and his timing. In the meantime, since COVID restrictions have limited our possibilities for a meeting place, two congregations are meeting together on the north coast of the island. We have, and they have, enjoyed the fellowship of believers and are seeing some good things happen there. I recently baptized some for them. One lady's husband had forbidden her baptism, but she finally was able to be baptized and is visibly happy about it. I baptized at low tide. We had to walk far to find water above our knees, but we found it. Thank you for your support and prayers that keep us here and doing this work. So good update there. Continue to pray for them as they're dealing with government restrictions still, a lot of those kinds of things. Brother Cody Watson, would you please pray for our missionary here? Amen.
If you would, stand with me, please, once again, for our last song tonight. Turn to page number 529. Page 529, we're going to sing the first, third, and last verse, Sunlight, page number 529.
I wandered in the shades of night till Jesus came to me, and with the sunlight of his love bid all my darkness flee. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within. While walking in the light of God, a sweet communion find, I press with holy vigor on and leave the world behind. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within. On the last verse, soon I shall see him as he is, the light that came to me. Behold the brightness of his face throughout eternity. Sunlight, sunlight in my soul today. Sunlight, sunlight all along the way. Since the Savior found me, took away my sin, I have had the sunlight of his love within.
Amen. Great singing. Please remain standing. Get your Bibles ready for the message tonight.
Have the sunlight. Amen. The S-O-N light. Especially when the S-U-N light hadn't shown up in a while. Amen. And what a blessing. Well, take your Bibles tonight and turn with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter number 1. The book of Ephesians and chapter number 1. And we're going to get back into this tonight. Of course, we started last week and we'll cover some things here in just a minute. But I'm actually going to read just really this whole thing down through here, and you'll see the punctuation, but you'll also see it kind of all ties together here. So beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says this: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that's the salutation there. But notice it goes right into it and says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Aren't you glad for that tonight? Then notice in verse number 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. But notice it ends with a colon. It keeps going. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Aren't you glad it ends with a period right there? Because this is like drinking water from a fire hose. I mean, it's just a lot. It's just one thing after the other, one thing after the other. And it's just so in depth and rich and it's good. Now, last week I mentioned this. We did start this and we pointed out two things. All right, number one, we begin to see the theme of Ephesians develop. If you'll notice, there's a lot of in Christ Jesus, in whom, whom, who? Jesus. It's all about in Jesus Christ. The idea is this, is that Paul was driving home the thought that when a person is saved, they are placed in Christ Jesus. In fact, we're going to see next week, Lord willing, that once you're in Christ Jesus, you cannot be taken out of Christ Jesus. You are sealed with the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus. But the other phrase, all right, this phrase, or rather this phrase, in Christ Jesus, it also spoke to our position in Christ. In fact, once you are in Christ Jesus, you've been placed in, you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according to verse number three there. So you've now, watch this, you're now a child of the King. You've been adopted into the family of God. You've been accepted in the Beloved. And what a blessing that is. And we know this. Now listen, with all of this, we also understand this, that some responsibilities come with that, doesn't it? In fact, he points out in verse 4 that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So heavenly places in Christ, it should lead to holiness in our daily lives. But in verse 7 that we start tonight, we start this second half of this paragraph here, another paragraph, and it actually deals with another position, redemption. He says this, in whom we have redemption through His blood. Forgiveness of sin. Boy, what a blessing. In whom, once again, speaks of Jesus Christ. And in our salvation, we have been redeemed through His blood and forgiven of our sin. But again, this doesn't come without responsibility. Because according to verse 12, it ends with this. Because we've received all of this in Jesus Christ, that we should be to the praise of His glory. That's who we should be as God's people. Huh. So here's what I titled the message tonight. I want you to catch this. If heavenly places should lead to holy living, then shouldn't redemption lead to reverential living? Because living, listen to this, because a life lived in reverence to God is a life that is praising, exalting, and glorifying the One that redeemed them. That's pretty good. So you got to get them R words in there, you know, got to alliterate all this stuff. You know what I'm saying. But that's true, isn't it? Listen, if we've been redeemed, then we ought to live like it. It's no different if our position has changed in Christ and we've been placed in heavenly places. We ought to live like it. Father, bless the preaching tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated tonight. Sure appreciate you standing in honor of God's Word. About 3 years ago, I wanted to get a black lab for our family. And we had bought a house and gardener down there. And so I felt like, okay, we've got our own place now. We've got our own little backyard there. And every family needs a good dog. Not a cat, a dog. And so I did. I started looking. I'd wanted, you know, we had a lab in the past. We had a chocolate lab. And so I thought, well, I want to get a black lab this time. And so I found one guy that had some puppies and was selling them up north of Lawrence over there. And so we drove out in the country and picked him up and brought him back home. And he was just a couple of months old, you know, and how they're all really cute and adorable and a lot of energy and love to play. And they got these sharp little pointy, needly teeth. Anyway, so we decided that he needed a friend because we were tired of him biting on us. And so I decided, well, since I got a dog, then Natalie needs to get a dog. And so she's not as picky as me. All right, I want purebred, you know, I want to pick it out. She's like, well, she finds this great Pyrenees cattle dog mix at a shelter up in Kansas City. And so we go up there, and if I'm not mistaken, they said about this dog that a previous family had adopted him, but then brought him back because he ate their cat.
And I was like, this is the dog. I love this dog already. Even if we don't adopt him. I mean, I'm like, I'll just give you money. So I just thought it was awesome. And so anyways, we brought our black lab along with us to see how they would get along, and they started getting along. And man, so we adopted Finn into our home. His name's Finn. And of course, our little lab puppy at the time was Sam. And man, this lab could jump all over Finn and just, I mean, bite him and just gnaw on him. And, you know, and Finn would just lay there and be like, okay, I guess this is my job. And then, you know, when he got tired, I mean, he's giant. He's like this tall. And, after a while, he would just get sick of the lab. And so he'd just go, poof, and knock him off. And so it was great to watch. And I think some of you know this. One day, both the dogs got out. In fact, it was on a Wednesday afternoon. And so we got, we were on our way to church when they got out. And so we had to go back. And it turns out that after the services that night, we ended up finding Sam. He had got hit and got killed, and it was probably a good thing anyways, because he was chewing everything up in our house, and I was about ready to kill him myself. And so I think the Lord knew I didn't need any more stress on my life than what I already had with ministry. And so Sam is now gone, and we just have Finn. But listen, let me say to you tonight, this dog loves Natalie. He loves our whole family almost too much, because he's like 100 pounds and he thinks he's a lap dog. And he wants to come over and he wants to get in your lap and things like that. But I'm telling you, he is just, it's amazing. Like, we can be upstairs in our house and I can go back in the bedroom and close the door behind me. And he will follow me all the way down the hall. I'll go in the bedroom and I'll close the door. And I'll be doing something in the bedroom or something, getting dressed. Or even, you know, sometimes I do my devotions in there or something like that. And then I can come out of the bedroom door. And when I come out of the bedroom door, there's Finn laying on the floor. And he's been waiting on me the whole time. He's like, where have you been? And he starts wagging his tail because he's so excited that I've come out. And then I start walking down the hallway. He gets up and he walks down with me. And I'll sit down in my chair. And he sits down next to my chair. And he loves our kids and Natalie. And listen, when Natalie comes out, he is so excited to see Natalie. And all, listen, it's almost like, if I could say it like this, it's almost like he's trying to demonstrate his love and appreciation because we're the ones that bought him and rescued him out of the animal shelter. Anybody get where I'm going with this tonight? Now please, let me just issue a caution here, because we live in a crazy day where people think dogs are people too. I met a guy one time that had a shirt that said dogs are people too, and I was looking at him and I was like, you know that's not right, right? Just like, anyways, I don't want to get into the gender issue. Anyways, all right, dogs are just dogs. They're not your grandchild. Or they're not sibling to your other children. Don't get weird. All right? You understand? But at the same time, if I could say it like this, all right, issuing all of those warnings, I'm probably making people mad already right now, but I don't care, because I hate cats and I do love dogs, all right? So, and I'm probably making people mad about whatever. But here's what I'm trying to say to you tonight. If I could say it like this, our dog illustrates, if you will, what our attitude ought to be toward our God. And that's really what this second paragraph is all about. Beginning in verse number 7, the word redemption, and I think many of you know this tonight, but it has the idea of a ransom, but here's the literal meaning of it. Now watch this. It's ransom paid in full. Get past the dog-cat thing, all right? It's ransom paid in full. Is everybody catching that? All right, it's the idea that as sinners, we were in bondage to our sin. If you're saved tonight, we were in bondage to our sin. However, Christ paid the ransom on the cross of Calvary with His blood. And it is paid in full. Thus setting us free from our bondage of sin, not to live in that sin any longer, but to live a life that would be praise to His glory. Amen. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about in this passage. It's one that where our attitude ought to be one of appreciation and adoration towards our Savior. And then our life ought to demonstrate that in our obedience unto Him. And that's exactly what Paul is beginning to deal with here. So let's get into this thing tonight and look at this. Look at verse number 7 again, because really, in fact, if I could say it like this, this gives us the plan of redemption. Look at what he says. He says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." All right, now we know this, that from verse number 4, you can go back up there and look. It says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." So we know this, all right? According to that verse, the plan of Jesus Christ was before the foundation of the world. All right, God in His foreknowledge, all right, now don't let me freak you out here. God in His foreknowledge did know that His creation, mankind, would sin. He understood that. But at the same time, God in His foreknowledge also would have the answer for man's sin problem. He would send forth His Son to die in man's place, thus redeeming him. Thus redeeming him. All of this is to say tonight that Jesus Christ is not, He is not some plan B. He wasn't sent. Listen, He wasn't sent because, well, you know, the law in the Old Testament, and it, that didn't work. The law was never meant to save. The law was meant to be our schoolmaster that shows us that we are sinners who do need to be saved. And even when Christ came, He said, "I didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law." You understand? Christ is not a plan B. He was the plan all along. He was the plan all along. But now listen, let's also look at this from man's perspective. Okay? And what I mean by that is this, is that, man, we can see this from God's perspective. This was the plan from the foundation of the world. But you also got to look at this from man's perspective. And I think it would be more worthy of us to spend time right here, because let's face it, we do live in a day where man prides himself in being God or even being self-righteous and not needing to be ransomed. But you'd be wrong. I said you'd be wrong. We do need to be ransomed, and our debt does need to be paid in full. When you, now I want you to think about this with me. When you go back to creation, and you go back to where it all began, and man sinning in the garden, and really even the Old Testament as a whole, there are two principles that you have to see and understand. One of those is this: man is a sinner. And the second one is this, is that someone, not excluding himself, or something, must die for his or her sin. Man is a sinner, and someone or something must die for their sin. In fact, in Romans, Paul brings this out in Romans 5:12. He says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." You understand what Paul is saying there? Paul is saying this: number one, man is a sinner, and number two, because he is a sinner, listen, someone or something has to die for that sin, and himself is not excluded from that. Death is going to pass upon all men. Here's why: because all have sinned. Man is a sinner by nature. Now we understand tonight, this started with Adam and his disobedience to the one commandment that God gave him. And then, of course, we know this, it spread to his seed following him, which is where you and I come from tonight. Come on, we all came from Adam and Eve. Red, yellow, green, black, doesn't matter. We're all precious in His sight, right? But we all came from Adam and his sin. And to sin is this: it's to miss the mark. It's to come short of the glory of God. And this sinful nature if I could say it like this, this sinful nature, it's revealed to man through two very clear avenues. Number one is this, the Word of God. I would say specifically the law. And again, the law was never meant to save or redeem mankind. Rather, it was to show mankind his need for redemption. The law reveals the glory and holiness of God, but also the sinfulness and wickedness of men. Again, as Paul would proclaim in Romans 7, in verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Come on, I'm just telling you, listen, where the world, now watch this, where the world and man may deem these things acceptable, God and His Word does not. Which is why, listen, which really is why man despises God and His Word today. And even Jesus said it Himself, that man loves darkness rather than light. Well, why? Because in the light, man is revealed who he truly is before God, which is a sinner in bondage to his own sinfulness. That's what a man is. Now, come on now, this ain't all bad news. I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me tonight. Because here's the other thing. Not only does the Word of God reveal man to be a sinner, but I'll tell you something else that reveals man to be a sinner. His own conscience. The Bible calls this, here's what the Bible calls this. This is the law of God written upon the heart of man. And it's on every man. In fact, Romans chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15, it says this, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves. Well, what is that? What do you mean? Well, they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. What Paul is saying is this, is that the Gentile people, they didn't have the oracles of God. They didn't have the law and Moses and the Word of God. But yet somehow, in some way, they knew some things that were right and they knew some things that were wrong. They knew some things that were moral and some things that were immoral. And Paul said this, that in and of itself is a law. What law? That every man is created in the image of God and God has written His law on their heart. It's called His conscience. I've often illustrated that, given the story about when I was a kid and I went with my grandma one day to the drugstore, and I loved baseball and I loved baseball cards, and we were playing baseball in the neighborhood and we were trading cards and all the time, and my favorite players were like Eric Davis on the Cincinnati Reds and Hal Morris and who was the first baseman. And I remember that was one of the years they swept the World Series. And my other buddy, he liked Will Clark, who was the first baseman for the Giants. And another, he liked Ryan Sandberg for the Chicago Cubs. Oh, but I do like Andre Dawson. I did like him. He was awesome. Because I liked what he said to a ref that fined him one time. I would pay for his eye exam or something like that. Or an umpire. Anyways, I don't have to. But I remember looking at them baseball cards and going, man, I'd like to have some, but I ain't got no money. And grandma was back there, and I grabbed one of them packs of baseball cards, and I stuck it in my back pocket. And man, I'm telling you, listen to me, the further we got from the store, the sicker I got in my stomach. Because I stole them baseball cards. And you need to understand this. Listen to me, that wasn't Holy Ghost conviction. I wasn't saved at the time. I wasn't familiar with Old Testament law, but I did know stealing was wrong, and my conscience was bearing witness against me, and here's why. Because I had broken God's law, thou shalt not steal. I didn't get saved until the age of 20. And by then, I had all kinds of wickedness in my life. And I got to be honest with you tonight. Listen, you didn't have to spend a lot of time convincing me that I was a wicked sinner. I knew that. What I did need to understand was how that Christ died for my sin, was buried, and that He rose again, and that He was living, and He is the Savior, and there is a God in heaven. And I'm glad that the Spirit of God began to deal with me and show me those things. And I got saved because of it. But the point is to say this. This really isn't the case today so much, because man in his intellectualism has denied that there is a God in heaven. And therefore he has denied that he is a sinner before God, justifying his wickedness and his evil. But you need to know this tonight. There is a God in heaven. I said there is a God in heaven. And he has created you in his own image. And according to his word, and according to your own conscience, if you haven't seared it to the point that it no longer speaks to you, that will declare that you are a sinner. You're a sinner. Now here's the second thing. So man is a sinner. Now watch this. That means this. Someone or something must die for your sin. And again, that doesn't exclude you. The wages of sin is death. Sin requires blood. And not only can man sinning be seen in the garden, but also this same principle. What do you mean? Somebody, something or someone dying for your sin. Did you know this? That when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and they partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and their eyes were opened, and they began to realize what was good and what was evil, they immediately noticed that they were both naked. And when they did, they began to clothe themselves in fig leaves, which is a great picture of man trying to redeem himself through his own work. And when God showed up, this is essentially what God said. God said this, that's not good enough. In other words, he was not pleased. He wasn't pleased about the sin in the garden, but he certainly wasn't pleased with the fig leaves that Adam and Eve had tried to clothe themselves with. And so what he did was he took the coats of skins, meaning animal skins, and clothed them. Is anybody with me tonight? Catch this. Animal skins. You understand, it's not like God went into the closet and went, hey, here you go. I got this fur coat I want you to put on. I bought it. Dillard's. They were having a sale. It's not how that worked. He got the animal skins from animals.
That's right.
Do you know what that means? That means blood had to have been shed. Something or someone died for their sin. Is everybody catching this? In fact, and here's what I believe. I believe this, that if you study it out and you keep going along in Genesis, I believe you'll come to discover that God's people were sacrificing spotless lambs.
That's right.
This was well before the law and Moses and the Day of Atonement. Is everybody catching this? And all of those things. Listen, even Abraham understood that there needed to be a sacrifice, a spotless lamb. When he took Abraham and he took Isaac, the seed there, the promised seed up on the Mount Moriah to sacrifice. They both understood that there had to be a sacrifice. Blood had to be shed for their sin. And they were looking for Isaac was looking for a spotless lamb. But Abraham would make that great prophetic statement, God would provide himself a spotless sacrifice. Amen. Now come on, I'm just paraphrasing, but you understand that they understood. That means this, that from the time of Adam and Eve and all the way down through the lineage of Seth and those sons of God, godly men, that they would worship God, and they understood that they were sinners and that something had to die for their sin, and it had to have been a spotless lamb. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. In fact, you can I mean, listen, you can go all the way back to that scene in Genesis chapter number 3. And be a fact, you'll see God's plan for man's redemption through Jesus Christ even given there. When God would say this, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." He's talking to the serpent, Satan. And what he's saying is this, is that there's going to come a day where the seed of a woman will be born. Not the seed of a man. Not the seed of a man. Not having the sin nature of man, but coming from a virgin, Mary. And that he would bruise thy head. Bruise means crush. But thou shalt bruise his heel, the heel of his foot. See, Satan did bruise the heel of his foot on Calvary. But if you crush the heel of man, that's not a death blow. That doesn't finish the job. And by the way, the job wasn't finished. Satan didn't get the victory. Christ did die on the cross. He was buried for 3 days and three nights. And then he rose again, dealing the crushing blow to the head of Satan. Doing away with his work so that man can be redeemed and forgiven. That's the proto-evangelism passage, the first prototype of the gospel. The point in all of this is to say, though, tonight, man is a sinner, and someone or something must die for his sin, himself not excluded. Therefore, man needs forgiveness of his sins. Otherwise, he not only dies physically, but he dies spiritually in hell for all eternity. Hence the plan for redemption. Man is in bondage to his sin. The wages of sin is death. Man is creating a debt that he will have to pay for all eternity, not to mention the bondage that he is in right now as he lives to fulfill his own flesh. But before the foundation of the world, God had a plan. God would send forth his Son to die on Calvary for you and me. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Christ had to die. Well, come on, I said Christ had to die. Come on, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sin. Something or someone had to die. But when Jesus Christ came on the scene, it was no longer the spotless lambs of the Old Testament. It was what John the Baptist proclaimed. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And now, in order to be forgiven of his sin, all we must do is simply come and receive Jesus Christ by faith. Come on, asking him to be our Savior, knowing that he died for my sin and is risen again to be my kinsman redeemer. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Preacher, I mean, this is Wednesday night crowd, and we're all saved. Well, you don't know that, and I don't. But I will say this, if you're not tonight, that's how man is saved. And at that moment of salvation, listen to this, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That just means this, you're born into the family of God. You're adopted as His child. You're accepted into the beloved. You're redeemed. Your ransom is paid in full. All your sin debt, past, present, and future, is forgiven through His blood. Mercy. Now I know there might be somebody here that wants to argue. That never happened in a Baptist church. But there might be that would say this, "Well, preacher, that's all well and good, but you don't understand what I've done against God." And that's a fair question. Maybe even a fair statement, because I realize that Maybe there are some with a far different background than one that's maybe been brought up in church and those kind of things. And there might be questions. And, well, what about these things that I've done? And, well, here's my answer to this. Read the end of the verse. Look at verse 7. He says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, watch this, according to the riches of His grace. You know what that means? That means it doesn't matter what you've done. It means, listen to this, it means His sacrifice was rich enough to pay the greatest of sin debts. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was going through this, right about here is where I stepped back in my chair and went, glory, in my office. Because that's pretty near good right there. I mean, you know, listen, well, preacher, I mean, you're going to have to give me, listen, don't believe me, ask Paul. Ask the Apostle Paul, who proclaimed himself the chiefest of sinners. Well, why? Because he persecuted the church. He had people thrown in prison, good people thrown in prison, and even put to death for simply believing the gospel. Yet the riches of His grace was enough. And Paul got saved. Listen, 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 15 says this, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. You know what I think He's talking about right there? Oh, it was rich. He was rich in faith, in love, and which is in Christ Jesus. There He goes again, in Christ Jesus. Man. And so He would conclude it like this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, to redeem them, to forgive them, to pay their ransom in full. That's awesome, isn't it? But guess what? It just keeps getting gooder. Well, what do you mean? Well, keep reading, because the punctuation's still going. So He ends with a semicolon, and here we go. Let's get another drink from the water hose, the fire hose. Don't worry, the second point's not near as long. By the way, the clock on the wall back there is broke, so right now we still got like 10 more minutes till 8 o'clock, so I'm good. But look at the next. Let's go there to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verses 8 through 11. So He says this, after the plan of redemption, He begins to talk about the predestination that comes with that. He says this. He says, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, still going in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained, listen to this, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Whew. Okay, preacher, so what does all that mean? Here's what all that means. Watch this. Because of our redemption in Christ Jesus, listen to this, that doesn't just pay off the sin debt we owe in this life. It keeps paying dividends in the life to come. Oh, my soul. I think I scooted my chair back right here and went glory again. This is unreal. Oh, come on, man. Now listen, you got to give me a smile, a head nod, an amen or something. I know we're in Kansas, but we can still say amen and go, mercy, that's awesome. Because think about this. See, really, and I know I said this is the predestination of the redemption, but here's the thing. This is where the word predestination is always implied to. Even right here, including our text, this has nothing to do with a person before their salvation. God does not predestine some to heaven and predestine some to hell. That's nonsense. Even in the text above, where he's talking about predestination and choosing, we saw that that's talking about the plan of Jesus Christ from the foundation of the world. This was always God's plan. This is what he predestined for mankind. And once mankind gets saved, there is a predestinated plan that continues for New Testament saints. I said for New Testament saints. Not Old Testament saints, New Testament saints. And that's what Paul is dealing with here. Look, in verse number 8, he says, wherein he hath abounded toward us. So now that we've been redeemed, we've been accepted in the beloved, adopted in the family, he's abounded toward us all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Okay, what is that? Well, it's a mystery. Okay, well, what is that? Well, really, it's applied to a host of things. But this is what I've always come to conclude. Scripture interprets Scripture. So, look with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 1. Here's what Paul says. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages, watch this, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit of God. Here it is. Here's the mystery. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. In fact, I mean, he deals with it even further. Verses 8 and 9, which I don't have time to read, but you understand that, and you can go to Colossians chapter 1 in verses 25 through 27. All of that, it basically reiterates the same thing. But the idea is this, is that this deals with specifically the Gentile people being saved and becoming the people of God along with the Jew. Did you catch that little Romans reference there from the other Sunday morning message? We get grafted into that tree. Okay, you didn't get it. Go back and listen to it. It's on the sermon audio. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. You still with me? Stay with me. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 32 when he's dealing with the relationship between the husband and the wife. And he talks about Christ's love for the church. And then he says in verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So this obviously is talking about Christ, the bridegroom, the church being his bride. Look at Ephesians 6 and verse number 19. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The death and the burial and the resurrection of the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Now please catch this. Please get this. Don't let me lose you right here. This is really, 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 really good. All of this is talking about the future plans that God has for His New Testament saints who are saved during this dispensation, meaning the church age. And if you've been placed in Christ, listen to this. You need to listen to this. Christ died for and started the church. Both Jews and Gentiles can be saved and made part of a church. but especially the Gentiles who would receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. And lastly, here's the thing. One day, Jesus is coming for His saints. Did you catch that? There's going to be a rapture of the saints. We which are those that have died in Christ will rise again. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together in the clouds to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Listen, that means all of the saved, including all of the churches that belong to Jesus Christ, they'll be raptured out of here. There'll be the marriage and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then we'll return with Jesus Christ. And we'll rule and reign with Him 1,000 years. Almost like we heard a message on that Sunday morning. And just as Paul has made this known to the saints in Ephesus, we've been making this known through the preaching of Revelation. And you got to understand this. The reason all of these things are called a mystery is, here's why. Listen to this. It's not because God's Word didn't speak of it. It's because the Jews didn't see it. All the Jews in their circumstances, they let that dictate what they were looking for, and they kept looking for that Messiah to return in power and great glory, and they never saw the suffering Messiah that's to come and redeem them first. And it's not that it wasn't in there. Read Isaiah. I said, read Isaiah. I mean, even the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 was reading Isaiah. And said, who? Said to Philip, whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? And Philip started at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So it's not that it wasn't in there. It was. But it's almost like the Jews just kept looking so far beyond all of that, not understanding that they were sinners who first needed their ransom to be paid in full. They didn't see it. And what Paul is saying right here is this, is that if you have now been placed in Christ Jesus, watch this, if you've now been placed in Christ Jesus, catch this, your spiritual eyes have been opened. You don't just see the far beyond. You see everything in between and what God was doing and how He had His hand on things the whole time. Almost like it was before the foundation of the world. And God had it all planned out. And that He would send forth His Son. And now we can be saved. Even us Gentiles. I said, even us Gentiles can be grafted into that tree of faith that goes all the way back to great men of God like Abraham and Moses, all of those things. We can be grafted in. We can be part of one of His churches, the Jew and the Gentile. And one day Christ is going to come for us and we're going to spend eternity with Him and we're going to rule and reign with Him. And I'm just saying to you, if you're in Christ Jesus, you've not only been redeemed from your sin in this life, oh, my friend, the best is yet to come. Amen. Now, don't you think that it would be a no-brainer, understanding all of that we would go, yeah, it makes sense. That if we've been saved and redeemed, and this is what God has for us, that I think He's worthy of us living to the praise of His glory.
Amen. That's right.
In fact, here's what I'd say. I think that'd be the least we could do.
That's right. Amen.
I'm not going to sit here tonight and go back through holiness and, you know, all those things and what it means and how about we need to be obedient to the things of God and fall under the authority of the Word of God and we need to be faithful in church and tithing and giving to missions and serving and witnessing and living separate from this world. We know those things. We know those things. But all I'm simply saying to you tonight is this. God's not a cruel taskmaster over His people. No, my friend, He's a wonderful, loving, heavenly Father who's redeemed us and forgiven us of all of our sin. I said, forgiven us of all of our sin according to His riches in Christ Jesus. And then, listen, it keeps getting gooder because He has a predestined plan for us that we're going to spend eternity with Him. We're going to come back to this earth and rule and reign with Him. So I'm just saying to you tonight that it would be worthy that understanding all of these things and receiving all of these things and knowing that it's just going to get better when it comes to the next life, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Period. So what about you tonight? Have you been redeemed? Well, preacher, I mean, this is Wednesday night. No, I know that. But have you been redeemed? Have you put your faith and trust in Christ? Did you understand you were a sinner and somebody's got to die for your sin, and that meant you? But Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again the third day, and you can be saved. All you got to do is come to Him and call upon Him by faith, and He'll save you right where you're at. And through His blood, you'll be forgiven. Your past, your present, your future sin, it's all under the blood. You become adopted into the family, accepted into the beloved. You're one of His children. Has that happened to you? Has that happened to you? Then if so, are you living a life that demonstrates your gratitude for it? And even what's coming because of it? That's what Paul's talking about. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. See, redeemed life. Redemption should lead to a life of reverence and praise and glory given to our God. Let's all stand tonight.